Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. All of Psalm 1. Then looking in the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right word so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you, Lord, once again for the wonderful and the blessed gift of your word. Lord, thank you for the fact that your word is you and you are the word of God. And thank you for the many ways our lives are blessed as we're wise enough to make it a high priority of our lives, to make it the priority you want us to make it, of getting into your word every single day. Help us to know, Lord, that our spending time reading and meditating on your word daily is literally one of, if not the most important things we do on a daily basis. Help us, Lord, to make it the priority you would have us to make it, and help us to spend significant time and energy in getting into your word and filling up on your word each and every day. And help us as parents and grandparents and those that work with young people to be wise enough to teach and train our children to do the same. We thank you and we praise you for the opportunity to do just that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for your word. Father, thank you so much for your guidance and for your presence today. Father, I ask that you'd be in this broadcast, that you would speak, that we could all hear some of your truth. Father, we ask for nourishment for our souls today. We know that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the word, from the mouth of God. So, Father, we thank you so much for your word, for your presence, and for your sustenance. Thank you so much, Father. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Hoping all of our listeners had a very blessed and joy-filled Christmas. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. If you're not praying the Ten Commandments on a daily basis, I really want to encourage you as an individual believer and as families coming together to start praying it together every single day. It's a wise thing to do. Lord, thank you for us as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for us as a nation, Lord. Help us as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking at the topic, warring wisely with the powerful word of God. And, you know, Isaac, today as we look at this topic, one of the things that comes to my mind is that, you know, several weeks from now, there will be a Super Bowl coming up, whoever will be in it. I think lots of people may think they already know exactly who will be in it, but we'll see. But one of the things that's true, this is true in the Super Bowl, the World Series in baseball, or NBA Finals, the fact is the teams that end up near the top and the one that ends up on top, they're not so much teams that necessarily, whether it's in football or certain games, that just come up with trick plays or just certain things like that to help them to become champions. Time and time again, it's those who've mastered the fundamentals of their game. And, you know, when it comes to the Christian life, we too as believers, when we desire to grow strong and vibrant in the Lord in our walk with God, a key part of walking with God is just mastering the fundamentals of the Christian life. And one of those, of course, is spending time reading and meditating on the Word of God as a lifestyle for us as believers. Of course, our prayer life is important, our obedience, and several other things that are related as well. But one of those fundamentals is simply reading and meditating on the Word of God consistently as believers, those. But any thoughts that come to your mind about that reality?
Absolutely. I've seen that same pattern play out again and again. In high school, I ran cross country, and I had a bad habit of not doing my running during the summer. And so I had a friend that started running with us, too. First couple of years, I was faster than him because I'd been running for more years. The third year, he did his running over the summer. It wasn't a lot. It wasn't that difficult. He wasn't doing super intense training. He just did the regular summer running. Mm-hmm. And the year after that, he was one of the fastest people in the state. And all it took was him doing the regular day-to-day practice.
Just the fundamentals, just following through with them and doing them consistently then.
Yeah. And I've seen that again and again and again. Mm-hmm. And really, like, while we were talking about this topic, the main thing that's coming to my mind of how we can position ourselves properly for reading the Word daily, for being equipped for doing those fundamentals is just humility, mm-hmm. of recognizing that maybe everything that I think is right might not line up exactly with what God has commanded is right. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should go and submit myself to God's perspective first. Maybe I should obey with what he says I should do of seeking his face daily.
Mm. Well, you know, again, I appreciate you sharing that. That's an outstanding illustration you just shared. And again, sports is just one of those topics that, you know, people like sports. And of course, some of the highest paid people in the world are athletes. Part of it is because people really like to watch sports and athletics. But the reality is, you know, and they have a place. You know, sometimes people make a god out of sports, and that's not a good thing. But God is to be number one in everything. But it has a place. But there's some tremendous life lessons you can learn from either, you know, watching sports or, of course, participating in sports as well. But one of those, of course, as you mentioned, again, whether it's cross country or track or football, baseball, basketball, again, mastering the fundamentals is what helps you move to the top.
And I think the spirit and the mind are very similarly geared. Mm-hmm. If you don't practice working with your spirit, your spirit's going to be very weak. If you don't practice working with your mind, your mind is going to be very weak. Mm-hmm. If every time you go through a trial, you wait for the hardest point and then try to work on yourself, mm-hmm. you're not going to be very well equipped with your reflexes for when trials like get difficult. But if you're practicing the fundamentals while things are easy, mm-hmm. and then you face a difficult situation, you're already going to be in the practice for how to walk with the Father, how to walk in peace, how to be full of grace, how to be sustained, mm-hmm. so that, does that make sense? Like, mm-hmm. as long as we're getting our reflexes, as long as our natural reaction is healthy in the easy times, mm-hmm. when the hard things hit, we're going to be moving the exact same way.
When the storms come, we can be prepared for those storms.
Absolutely.
And so being in the Word daily, praying daily, listening to God, following God daily as a lifestyle is it blesses us as we do it. But when we do run into those storms, those major challenges, again, the grace to walk through it victoriously typically will be there to do what we have to do. So I want to take time now specifically to share an article that will help us further introduce what we'll be looking at. And again, as we're looking at the topic, warring wisely with the powerful Word of God, keep in mind, you know, as much as people may not like the idea of having to deal with spiritual warfare, that's a reality of life. Like it or not, every day of our lives, we step out onto the battlefield of life, even though we wish it weren't a battlefield, but that's the reality of what it is. Life is not a park. It's not a beach. Life is a battlefield, and we need to be mindful of that. Sharing this article, the title of this article is A Skilled Warrior and His Sword. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Again, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And then looking at Ephesians chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. Excuse me, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Again, Ephesians 6, 17 and 18. Then 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 50 and 51. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Again, that was 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 50 and 51. Every disciple of Jesus Christ would be wise to strive to become a kingdom warrior. I would define a kingdom warrior as a disciple of Christ who wisely and skillfully puts the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, to work every day. We live in a world where we all people everywhere, are facing intense spiritual warfare every day of our lives. We face it at home, at school, at work, in public, every single day. We see it in the news, in our government, in our culture, and all across the world. In view of this, what if a person says they don't want to be involved in spiritual warfare? And what if a given person says they don't want to have anything to do with spiritual warfare? Tragically, none of us have a choice in the matter. Like civilians who unfortunately happen to live in a war-torn land, war has come to us, like it or not. Since we have no choice but to face spiritual warfare in our lives, this is our choice. We can live like civilians and just become victims of the killing, abuse, and problems and difficulties of war. Or we can choose to become well-equipped soldiers and warriors, skilled and trained for war and spiritual warfare. Hopefully, all believers would want to become warriors in God's kingdom. Warriors who've learned about the realities of spiritual warfare and that have been taught and trained to be well-equipped soldiers. Well, just how do we begin to accomplish this? Here are some insights that can help you to do just this. These are truths that we would be wise to learn and walk in. The most powerful weapon in the world is the Word of God. And here are seven ways we can put the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, to work in our lives and in our world. And as we do, we can become mighty men and women of God who know how to win battles in life. Seven ways to use the Word of God every day are to read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. We'll pick up there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
To give you all the praise. Oh.
Music from Planet Shakers with a song simply entitled Only Way, a reminder that Jesus Christ is the only way through whom we can receive salvation and eternal life. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession today. We're looking at the topic, warring wisely with the powerful Word of God. And we're, amongst other things, reminding you of the very important goal of starting the habit of reading God's Word every single day of your life. If you don't have the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day, today is a great day to start that habit. We're sharing from an article entitled, A Skilled Warrior and His Sword. And of course, we're speaking of the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Picking up further with that article, we live in a world where we all people everywhere, are facing intense spiritual warfare every day of our lives. We face it at home, at school, at work, in public, every day. We see it in the news. We see it in the news, in our government, in our culture, and all across the world. In view of this, what if a person says they don't want to be involved in spiritual warfare? And what if a given person says they don't want to have anything to do with spiritual warfare? Tragically, none of us have a choice in the matter. Like civilians who unfortunately happen to live in a war-torn land, war has come to us, like it or not. Since we have no choice but to face spiritual warfare in our lives, this is our choice. We can live like civilians and just be victims of the killing, abuse, problems, and difficulties of war, or we can choose to become well-equipped soldiers and warriors, skilled and trained for war and spiritual warfare. Hopefully, all believers would want to become warriors in God's kingdom, warriors who've learned about the realities of spiritual warfare and that have been taught and trained to be well-equipped soldiers. Well, just how do we begin to accomplish this? Here are some insights that can help you to do just this. These are truths that we would be wise as believers to learn and walk in. The most powerful weapon in the world and in the universe is the Word of God. And here are 7 ways that we can put the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, to work in our lives and in our world. And as we do, we can become mighty men and women of God who know how to win battles in life. Here are 7 ways to use the Word of God every day. Daily, we can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. All of these uses are related, but none of them are quite the same. You can read the Word of God, but not hear it. You can read the Word of God, but not choose to obey it. You can believe the Word of God, but not choose to pray it, etc. We'd be wise to strive to use the Word of God in our lives in all 7 ways daily. Why is this true? Consider these truths. The written Word of God is a book of faith. From Genesis to Revelation, we are called to hear, believe, and obey the Word of God. If we hear the Word of God but don't obey it, we deceive ourselves, as James chapter 1, verse 22 lets us know. The Word of God is a book full of truth, yet truth is always meant to be learned and applied. We're to read the Word of God and act like it's true, because of course it is. We'll not receive the blessing and benefits of the Word of God when we fail to obey and act on it fully. So in view of all these truths, we're wise to take God's word to heart. We're to read it, believe it in our hearts, and speak it with our mouths. And we're to act on the word of God. In other words, we're to act like God's word is true. One example of a very fruitful way to put God's word to work daily in our lives is by praying it, as we've alluded to. Here's an example of taking the word of God and praying it. Thank you, Lord, for all the believers we've lifted up in prayer today, and thank you for all those that make up our listening family today. Today, we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today, I say to the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress. Our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the most high our habitation. No evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent we trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We are called to be mighty warriors in the army of God. Our main weapon is the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, based on Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. Let's be wise enough to take our sword, the powerful word of God, into battle every single day. And let's be wise enough to use the word strategically, skillfully, and aggressively. This is how we can walk in victory every day of our lives. Again, the title of that article was A Skilled Warrior and His Sword. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. I would encourage you, please do email us to get a copy. We'd like for you to have it not only for your own spiritual growth, but to use in sharing with and discipling your family. And we're encouraging you, please forward it far and wide to any and all the Lord puts it on your heart to share with as well by way of email, because it's easy to do it and it's a very fruitful way for you and I to partner together in the work of discipleship. Again, my email, joseph@afr.net. We hope that you will email us to get a copy. Isaac, any thoughts that come to your mind in relation to some of the issues that we touch on in the article?
Absolutely. The importance of reading scripture. I just want to emphasize that, like, not only are we commanded to read scripture, but I mean, if we look at the way Jesus lives, even as a child, he stays. We read that during the Christmas narratives. Maybe it's right after the Christmas narratives, where he stays at the temple and he's asking questions and they're amazed at, like, his wisdom, right? And so even Jesus at that early age is staying, hungering, learning more about scripture. And then later on in his ministry, it says that he gets up basically, I think, every morning, early every morning before all the disciples do, and he's praying and meditating.
Going off to pray.
In Deuteronomy 17, there is some instruction for kings. It says, like, whenever you go and get your own land, you probably want to get a king. If you actually do want a king, here's the instructions. And it basically says he's supposed to copy the book of the law with his own hand, and he's supposed to read it daily. And that's the instruction for kings. However, scripture clarifies that everybody is supposed to be a lowercase k king under the King of Kings. That we are supposed to be rulers over what he has given us. And so, since we are supposed to be kings also underneath Jesus, then we are also supposed to, like the instructions in Deuteronomy 17, read the scriptures daily. And it's kind of beautiful just seeing the way that Jesus does that. He enacts that. Not only are we being told to do stuff, Jesus emulated it so that we can see him do it too. Now, I don't expect for us to tell all of our listeners, hey, go read your scripture every day, and we expect you to do it perfectly, and you're going to be a super wise sage, you know, living on a mountaintop with a big old white beard. Like, we're not expecting perfection. We want perfection.
We want to always be striving for that.
Absolutely. We want to be aiming for perfection. But the biggest thing is showing up. In the same way that whenever I wasn't saved, I didn't feel like I had control over my flesh. Now that I'm saved, I trust in the Holy Spirit, even in my quiet times, even in my scripture reading. I want to show up and be present, and I want to try to do all of these things. I want to show up geared up for war, expecting the Father to have already fought it.
Share the scripture. Again, you said the king, because I want to go back and read that again. You say he's supposed to copy the scripture?
Yes.
That's Deuteronomy
17. It says that...
I got to go back and really, that's powerful. Thank you for sharing that.
In his own hand. And the priests are supposed to supervise to make and double check it to make sure that there's no mistakes. It's that meticulous. He's supposed to carry the book with him everywhere. And you actually see as the kings rise and fall that the wicked ones kind of stop doing that. And the ones that turn back towards God, there's a tendency for them to either find the book of the law or for them to have a copy or start reading. It generally starts with that.
That's Deuteronomy 17.
Uh-huh.
I got to definitely go back and look at that again. Thank you for sharing that, Isaac.
Absolutely.
That's heavy. Thank you for sharing that. Psalm 112. Psalm 112, sharing it, it tells us these words. Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. The wicked will see this and be infuriated. They will grind their teeth in anger. They will slink away, their hopes thwarted. Verses 1 through 10, all of Psalm 112. And then briefly looking at Psalm 19 as well. Now, again, these are passages that especially emphasize the importance of being a student of Scripture. Again, that was Psalm 112. This is now Psalm 19. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display His craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make Him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth, and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. All of Psalm 19. Again, two powerful psalms that really draw out in detail just more reasons and wisdom as to why we're all wise to be diligent students of God's Word. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to open your Word every day and spend time one-on-one with you as you speak words of blessing, words of grace, words of power, words of encouragement into our hearts, our minds, our lives. Father, more and more open our understanding to the fact that one of the most productive habits in all of life is simply spending time reading and meditating on your Word. Help us to never get so busy that we neglect spending time with you as you speak those words of blessing, life, and grace to us. Father, impress upon us to be diligent as parents and grandparents and those that work with young people to really do our part to help teach and train our children to fill up on your Word every single day. Help us to be mindful, Lord, that when our children are reading your Word, they're spending time with you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as they spend time with you, that you're touching them through your Word, you're blessing them, you're encouraging, you're molding and shaping them to become more and more like you. And help us to be mindful, Lord, that there's nothing that we need more. There's nothing our children need more than your wonderful, blessed Word. Thank you for the opportunity to read and meditate on it every single day. Lord, open our eyes to the wonderful gift of your word. Open our eyes that we may see wondrous things out of your law. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking today at the topic, warring wisely with the powerful word of God. We'll be right back.
Bread of life, sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. But you are the living word, faith now.
Bread of life,
come on.
Sent down from glory.
Many things.
Things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter.
Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread sent down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were.
Awesome ruler,
awesome ruler,
gentle redeemer, God with us,
God with us, the living truth, and what a friend we have in you
are an awesome ruler,
awesome ruler,
this is what we like to call you, Jesus.
The music of Fred Hammond. You are the living word. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, warring wisely with the powerful word of God. And we're reminding, you know, often as we look forward to, in a few days, to New Year's, this is the time of year in which often people want to start New Year's resolutions. And that can be good and fine in its place. But keep in mind, whether it's a New Year's resolution or not, it is a habit you would be wise to establish and never stop. Because spending time in God's Word is so important, because when you're spending time in the Word of God, as we've said on plenty of occasions, you're spending time with Jesus. And keep in mind, Jesus is our Lord and Savior. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And remember, in all that he has to do, he'll spend as much time with you as you'll spend with him. And you might think, well, how in the world can he do that? He has a universe to run and everything that's related to that. Well, keep in mind, he's God. And we should never get God and us mixed up. Remember, we're the ones that sometimes fall behind and get mixed up with things. Jesus never gets mixed up with anything. He can handle his schedule wonderfully. In fact, he's the ultimate multitasker. So don't worry about how he can spend time with 1 billion people and spend more quality time with them than you and I can spend with one single person. He's God. He can do that kind of thing. So remember, he'll spend as much time with you as you will spend with him. In Matthew chapter 4, it has some important insights and lessons the Lord Jesus teaches us about the Word of God, which again is himself as well. Again, Matthew 4, starting at verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God." Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. "I will give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him, for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil went away, and the angels came and took care of Jesus. Verses 1 through 11, Matthew chapter 4. Now, you know, those 11 verses in Matthew chapter 4 are so powerful because keep in mind, it's almost as if the devil is coming in a similar way to for the match like he had in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, thinking to himself that he was not only, the devil might have been thinking to himself, well, I got Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, now I'm going to get the Son of God too. And the fact is, in his battling with Jesus, the devil never even came close to defeating Jesus. Jesus, in his power and wisdom, was wise enough to always respond with the word of God. Now, you might say, well, anything Jesus would have said would have been the word of God. Well, that's true. But note here, Jesus is teaching us an important lesson. Everything he says, he's quoting from the Old Testament. Why does he choose to do that? I believe one of the reasons is, of course, he's teaching us a lesson. You and I are wise to respond to every temptation, every challenge, every trial with speaking the word of God, confessing the word. That's very, very important. So be mindful. If Jesus did it, you and I are wise to war in the same way. Speak the word of God only. Isaac, did you have anything on your heart that you wanted to share in relation to that?
Yeah, I had two quick things. One, I feel like this is a callback to something in the Old Testament, and it's kind of indirectly covered again later in a later New Testament book. Mm-hmm. But so Moses gets the instructions for the tabernacle. They set apart everything as holy. They start consecrating everything. They have the day where they like commit the tabernacle, and they're doing all the rituals. Aaron has two sons that mess something up. They don't know exactly what they're supposed to be doing, I guess, and they get the wrong incense, and they end up being consumed by fire from the tabernacle. But thankfully, they got the tabernacle right, and the tabernacle stands. Mm-hmm. And so Moses has to keep Aaron from running off to save Aaron. He says that if Aaron runs off, he's going to die too, because his sons just died in the fire. But he says, Leviticus 10, verse 10, you must distinguish between what is sacred and what is common, between what is ceremonially unclean and what is clean. And I found a wonderful parallel between that and Hebrews 5, verse 14. Mm-hmm. He's getting on to the church for not being as mature as they should be. And he says, solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. And so in that story, there is Jesus perfectly seeing what the enemy is tempting him with, mm-hmm. and quoting scripture, knowing what is right. You also see the enemy quoting some scripture, but he doesn't know what's right. And so there you have like this similar pattern that bridges the entire Bible of knowing scripture. They had the instructions on how to properly do incense, when and what kind of incense and where and like how to do it. And Aaron's two sons failed that and they suffered the consequences. And there you have Jesus knowing how to perfectly follow everything. Mm-hmm. And he does it with scripture.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And, you know, powerful in relation to what you're sharing there is to know that like, of course, Jesus used the word of God perfectly, and again, he is the word of God. And yet, at the same time, it's so important for us to learn from his example. Again, sadly, when we look back at the story of Adam and Eve, they didn't respond with the word of God that they'd heard from God. They just were thinking and considering what Satan had offered them, and sadly gave in. So
Even starting with Eve right there, like one of the first issues that pops up before she even eats the fruit is mm-hmm. she misquotes the instructions that Adam was given.
Mm-hmm.
Right there before she even eats the fruit, they're mm-hmm. missing the word of God.
Mm-hmm. And the key is stick with the word, speak the word, stand on the word of God no matter what. So But thank you for sharing those insights as well. I want to share one more article. We may or may not finish, but this one is entitled 7 Ways to Use Your Sword. Now, keep in mind, sometimes some of the insights or truths we share may, we may sort of kind of share them or kind of repeat them. But again, the article, again, one of the reasons why we encourage you to email us to get these articles is because each one is a different tool to help you grow stronger in a given area of your discipleship walk with the Lord. So please email us to get copies of them when we share them. That's a part of why we share them, to help you grow stronger as you take and use them as a tool in your walk with the Lord for you and the discipleship of your family. Again, the title, 7 Ways to Use Your Sword, Ephesians 6, 17 and 18, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, Ephesians 6, 17 and 18. Then Matthew 4, verses 1 to 4, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Again, Matthew 4, verses 1 to 4. And then Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Hebrews 4:12. The most powerful weapon, and again, the title of this article, 7 Ways to Use Your Sword. The most powerful weapon in the universe is the word of God. And the word of God is also known as the sword of the Spirit. So the sword of the Spirit is the most powerful weapon in the universe. Without question, this statement is very powerful, true, and accurate. One might ask, how can you even begin to prove such a point? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Jesus Christ is God, and He is the Son of God. The universe was created entirely by God and the Word of God. If Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Again, Genesis 1, verses 1 to 3. So we as believers are wise to make it a high priority to read and meditate on the Word of God every day. Reading and meditating on the Word of God daily are ways to wisely use our quote-unquote sword. And reading and meditating on the Word of God daily is a powerful battle strategy for battling the kingdom of darkness. And for time reasons, we're going to end it there. But again, if you want to get a copy of the article, this second article is entitled 7 Ways to Use Your Sword. Again, please email us to get a copy. Again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Thank you, Father, again, for all those we've lifted up in prayer today. And thank you for all those that make up our listening family. Lord, touch us. Do a work in our hearts by the power of your Spirit. Stir us to be a people that become committed not only to read and meditate on your word every day, but set us on fire with a passion to not only do it in our lives, but to teach and train our children and to make it a point to be a vessel you can use to touch and encourage many other people as well to do the very same thing, that they too would become students of word, the Word, who would begin the habit of reading at least 3 chapters daily in the Word. And help us to know, Lord, that any and all of us can challenge and encourage others to start that very fruitful habit and be blessed by it as well. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today, and you know you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today is a great day, a wonderful day to be saved. If you'd like to make the step and commit your heart and your life to the Lord, would you simply from your heart pray this prayer with us now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, by faith, I repent. By faith, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me, fill me with your spirit. Help me to live for you my whole life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray and seek you in prayer daily. And help me to live a life of obedience to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, then we want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us and let us know. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus. We definitely hope to hear from you again, joseph@afr.net. Thanks for listening. And also, if you'd like to get copies of the articles we shared earlier, the two articles, the first one entitled A Skilled Warrior and His Sword, the second article, Seven Ways to Use Your Sword. If you'd like to get one or both, simply email us, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get them to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.